I grew up in a very unusual situation, in a sense. Most of you know this. I had an older brother. My older brother, David, was severely retarded at birth and lived his entire life with tremendous mental deficiencies, wasn't able to go to school, basically played with dolls all of his life. He and I used to do great things together when I was a kid, and David was always a lot of fun. But in his life, one of the things that blessed him most and he just looked forward to greatly, we lived about as far as here from the lobby, from the back door of our church, and David loved to go to church. And every time he had the opportunity, he was in church. Point number one, I noticed that everybody in that congregation, and back in the 50s and 60s, it was a congregation of 500, 600, 700 people, which was a good-sized church at that time. Point number one, I noticed that everybody in that church loved David Tucker. They would make it a point to go from this side of the church to that side of the church just to say hello, David, and David ate it up. And he enjoyed the service. He was usually quiet and not unruly in church, as I was on some occasions. But David loved to sing. And he had a tremendously strong, somewhat baritone voice, and it didn't matter whether it was a soft, worshipful song or a rousing evangelistic song. David only knew how to sing one way, and that was loud. And he pretty much stayed in time, but he was always loud. Now, he couldn't read a note, but he would never sing without a songbook in his hand. Normally, it would be upside down, but he was doing what everybody else did. And here stands David holding that songbook upside down. I can remember it as clear today as ever, sticking that songbook somewhat under his arm so he could clap when everybody else was clapping because he wanted to be a part. Loud caught everybody's attention. Too loud, over loud, extra loud, uber loud, however you want to say it, David was just loud. Now, here's the way that congregation resolved that problem of this loudmouth singer. Point number two. David had this rich baritone voice, and I can remember night after night when three of the better singers in that congregation would make their way over to David's bench, and they would gather around him, and they would use his voice, his contribution, to form a four-part harmony quartet. You talk about a beautiful experience and a beautiful memory for me of how that congregation treated a very deprived member of their church family. I know it was out of respect for my mom and dad, but I also know that it was out of a sheer love for my brother. That's what I heard Pastor Jim talking about this morning, the family of God and the with factor. There are people in our congregation that are just so gung-ho involved, and you don't have to worry about them being part of a small group. You don't have to worry about them attending services as frequently as they possibly can. They're ready to volunteer for everything. There are other people, their personality is not quite that vibrant. I even sometimes talk about people that are so unassuming and so undemanding that it's almost like they will just disappear in the walls if we don't pay attention to them because they don't require anything. They're happy, they're glad to be here, but I've always had a sense that we need to make sure that everybody feels included, and I do feel like it's our responsibility as family members to make sure that that happens. And that can go on and on and on to those people that come into our congregation, but for whatever reason may be, they somewhat remain on the margins, and they have difficulties in becoming involved and engaging. That may be you with your effervescent personality. You don't have those problems. God make us sensitive to those people. Unfortunately, for this church, like every other church, sometimes a person like that can come in and go out without us ever noticing that they were here because they're undemanding, they have a quiet personality, or for some reason they just couldn't connect. We people cannot be passive about that if we really believe in the with factor that Pastor Jim was talking about this morning. I was led to Acts and the aftermath of the day of Pentecost and thinking about this topic that I wanted to talk to you about a little bit tonight. I don't want to talk to you about the tongues of fire. I don't want to talk about to you about that cacophony of languages that began to flow as God gave them all the ability to speak in other languages other than their own. I don't even want to talk to you about that incredibly memorable sermon that Peter stood up and preached with that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life. All of those things are amazing topics and amazing talks, but I want to look at what happened right after that. I want to share with you Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 47, and just basically all I'm going to do is read it to you because it speaks for itself. When the people heard this, as Peter finished his message, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Now, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that single day. And then listen to their response. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They even sold property and possessions to give to anyone in their number who had need. Every day they continued to come together, to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And you know what God did? He responded. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 32. After they prayed, this is after Peter and John are released from prison. They came back to the church crowd. Well, where else would you go except to the family of God? Who else would you want to see after you've been released from prison for your faith? They gathered together with the believers, and what did they do? They prayed. And what did God do but respond again and baptize them again in the Holy Spirit? After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Wow, wouldn't that be a miracle? All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And then the writer gives us a personal example. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet, evidently to meet the needs of the congregation. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. That's the kind of family of God that I want to be a part of. That's the atmosphere and the spirit of that congregation who loved David Tucker and drew near to him and entered into his life and meant so much with him. And there were other somewhat special people in our congregation, and none of them were left aside. None of them were left out. In the pattern of the church, of the early church, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, coming together, being one, fellowshipping with one another. Well, isn't that the with factor that we're talking about? We truly need one another. We've noticed something in recent times. We've noticed that there is a whole lot more lingering in the lobby area. People don't just walk out the door and go to their cars like they once did around here in the ancient past, but people tend to linger and fellowship and visit and simply want to be together. We've noticed that in our legacy breakfast every month. The room used to clear out pretty quickly once the bacon was gone. But we notice now that sometimes 15, 30 minutes later, there are still people just visiting and interacting with one another. That's part of the with factor. God, strengthen the with factor among us, and don't only strengthen it, but make sure that everybody feels it, that everybody participates in it. Can I hear an amen for that? That's good counsel for the family of God. And Pastor is leading us in the right direction, bringing these three mission points home in stronger fashion than I've ever seen them before. And I pray that God will help us in that direction. I think I started at 6:48 and it's 6:58 now, so I'm through whether I like it or not.